I want to read in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews 11, familiar passage of Scripture, familiar portion of Scripture. Brother Bob read this morning about the pendulum in Sunday school and how that it was easy for that professor to trust this, and those of you that weren't here, you just had to been here to hear the whole thing, but it's easy for that professor to trust the law of the pendulum so long as it was something on a blackboard. But when it was a heavy weight that was brought to the place to where that if that pendulum swung too hard, it would hit him square in the face, where it meant his life and livelihood and well-being, when it meant where he had to go beyond believing in the theory of the pendulum and into the practice of the law of it, or else it would injure him or wound him personally. He believed in it, but he wouldn't believe on it. He believed in it, but he wouldn't trust in it and trust in the law that he knew to be true. Hebrews chapter 11 is all about faith, and it's about the kind of faith that goes beyond believing in God to believing on God. It's about the kind of faith that's beyond theory, but it goes into practice. Hebrews 11 testifies of a whole lot of people that didn't just have enough faith to believe in God, but had enough faith to trust in God on a daily basis for everything in their lives. And I'm thankful that the Lord's trustworthy and He's dependable this morning. I praise His sweet name for that. I talked to my friend, Brother Ramsey, up there in Canada here a little bit on yesterday, and this morning he sent me a message that I hadn't had time to respond to right before I got to church. And he said, "Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you." And he said, "I'm depending on God to take care of you and use you to preach today." And I'll say, thank God that He is dependable and He is trustworthy. You can count on Him. You can depend on Him. You can trust in Him. And the old hymn song said, "The only thing that I can see that worries God is you and me." And I'm telling you, that's about right. He said that He could not do many wonderful works there because of their unbelief. He'll work if we'll just trust Him. He'll work if we'll just depend on Him. So I'm preaching this morning out of Hebrews chapter 11. When you find your place in your King James Bible, stand with us and we'll read the Word of the Lord together. If you're able and willing to stand with us and we'll reverence God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Word of God says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Let me back up. Notice it does not say faith used to be this, and at one time the definition of faith was this, but now faith. Isn't it interesting? Now faith. We're always hearing from folks, this is a new time, this is a new day, this is a new generation, but it's the same God. Now faith. That which was true of faith in the days of the Hebrews, that which was true of faith, my friend, in our Sunday school lesson this morning in Joshua, that which was true of faith in the day of the Apostle Paul, that which was true of faith in Grandma and Grandpa's day is true now of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And by the way, you'll never obtain a good report. That is a good testimony, a good mark from God without faith. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, Abel being the first of all the heroes of faith that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. He said, by the which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. I'll only mention it as we're passing here, but Abel had a testimony, and his testimony lived past the days of his life. A title dies with a man, a testimony will live on past his life in this world. Had God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch, when he was translated, that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There's the testimony again. Not preaching on that, I just can't hit those verses without pointing it out. And in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You can be seated this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord. Recently, I've been preaching a lot of messages with titles of one word, about topical messages from specific passages, about specific things. We talked a couple weeks ago about prayer. We've talked recently about abundance. Several months ago, talked about temperance. And this morning, I want to talk to you about faith. And now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Chapter number 11 of the book of Hebrews is the faith chapter. It is the hall of faith. One said it was the hall of fame of faith, but I don't know about using the word fame and faith in this chapter, though I probably will use it some later on in the message, but I always like to call this the hall of faith. It's where God recognizes the faithful. And we learn here in this chapter that faith is essential. Faith, my friend, is not optional. Faith is essential. You can live for God without a new automobile. You can live for God without a new home. You can live for God without wearing a new suit and tie. But you cannot live for God without faith. Faith is essential. My friend, faith is more than a philosophy of life. One man said, my faith is very important to me. He speaks of faith as a philosophy. But my friend, faith is past a philosophy. Faith is the very principle of life. The righteous shall live his whole life by faith. The Old Testament, my friend, in the book of Habakkuk, and again in the book of in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, in the book of Romans, states the just shall live by faith. That is, the righteous shall live his whole life by faith. The principle of his life is faith. Without faith, he has no life. The life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In Galatians 2 and 20, we walk by faith and not by sight. A man who lives by faith has been saved by faith. In Acts 16 and 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's kept by faith in 1 Peter 1 and 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And he lives by faith in Galatians 2 and 20. His faith will be tried many times and in many ways, according to 1 Peter 1 and 7. But faith will always be vindicated, because faith is more than equal to any occasion, friend. Faith knows how to wait on the Lord. I praise His name. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Faith waits on the Lord. Faith is always victorious. 1 John 5 and 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith, my friend, defies reason. Faith moves mountains. Faith does not always face facts. And faith never gives up. I wonder, are you living by faith? Living by faith. You know what faith says? Faith says God is working out His perfect will in my life. And I can wait, I can endure, and I can suffer, trusting that God knows what's best for me. Faith does not make anything easy, but faith does make all things possible. The just shall live by faith. If you'll be just, if you'll be righteous, if you'll live a life pleasing to the Lord, you'll live by faith. For the child of God, faith is our primary defense. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 16. Just talking about faith right now. I'll preach to you in just a minute out of Hebrews 11. But I'm just talking about faith right now. Faith is our primary defense. Oh yes, Ephesians 6 and 16, after he tells us about all of the armor of God, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is our primary defense. Let me give you three things by way of introduction concerning faith, and then I want to give you six things about faith from Hebrews chapter 11. And so I got to preach fast this morning, and so you'll have to listen fast. Amen. First of all, faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. If you trust God, it'll be because you decided to. And the Lord ain't coming from heaven with handcuffs to drag you kicking and screaming to heaven and you not a one to go. Amen. Faith, my friend, is a choice. Faith decides to leave the pleasures of Egypt. Faith decides to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. That's what we learn about Moses from Hebrews 11. Faith is a choice. It's a new decision. You'll have to choose to believe. So long as you do not choose to believe, you will remain in unbelief. Faith is a choice. It's a new decision. Faith is a change. It's a new direction. Amen. Before you exercise the measure of faith given you of the Lord, you were an unbeliever. You were lost. You were condemned. Oh, friend, faith in God is a new direction. Our believers no longer depend on themselves or trust in others. We have put our confidence in God. And my friend, faith is a change. It's a new direction. I'm not the man I used to be. And I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I was. Faith is a change. It's a new direction. Someone said, I don't know if I can live for God or not. I've never really trusted the Lord. Well, friend, you won't do it until you just decide to do it. And to trust in the Lord. I remember hearing James Shaver tell about all them years of bootlegging and to living a rough life and to living in sin and such, and said finally got under conviction and spent day after day after day of praying and trying to get saved. He got rid of his steel and he got rid of his liquor and he went down and told the moonshiner he didn't need him anymore, and they said he even got rid of his cigarettes and said his wife got saved and said he didn't know what to do. But he couldn't get peace in his life. Now one morning in the living room, he got down in the floor beside the chair and said, Lord, live or die, sink or swim. If I die and go to hell, I'll go to hell trusting in you. And peace came from heaven on his soul. And he's preached that testimony in this pulpit. I tell you, friend, if you'll live for God, you must make a choice of faith. He'll make a change of faith and you'll have a new direction in your life.
Faith is a choice, it's a new decision. Faith is a change, it's a new direction.
And then I want to say faith is a confidence. It's a new distinction. Amen. Our new distinction now. Lest I rub the cat the wrong way and this morning, go ahead and tell her to turn around before I say what I'm about to say. Some of my Baptist brethren wouldn't much like this, I don't guess. But I have very little interest in constantly preaching on a Baptist distinctives or history. I'm not interested in being a good Baptist. I want to be a good Christian. Amen. That's exactly right. But I want to tell you, friend, there is something distinctive about an old-time Christian. Somebody said, I want to be an old-time Baptist.
business. That's your business between you and God. I want to be an old-time Christian. If that identifies me with some of the Baptist crowd, then so be it. Let's lock arms and walk together. And if it does not, I still want to be identified distinctively with Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, friend, this world has not faith. They're evil, wicked, and unreasonable men, Paul said in Thessalonians, who have not faith. Faith is a confidence. That is a distinction that only the child of God has. The world doesn't have it. That's why they're called unbelievers. The world doesn't have it. As sinners don't know the peace that faith brings. And the lost are carried about, fretting over everything, with no one bigger than themselves to count on. But the child of God is distinguished by confidence. And that chest is not in princes. It's not in mankind. It's not in the government. My trust is in the Lord. I have confidence. My little girl and I ride to school every morning. When she was in the first grade, she fell in love with an old song from back in the 60s. And we'd play it every morning on the way to school. I've got confidence. God is going to see me through. No matter what the case may be, I know He's going to fix it for me. I've got confidence. I wonder, friend, are you living in confidence? Are you living in faith? Are you living in abundance? Are you living in unbelief? Are you living in doubt? Are you living in worry? Are you living in threat? Faith is a confidence that is distinctive to the child of God.
Amen.
The world don't know about it, but I'm glad I've got it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, the Blackwood Brothers used to sing, "I've got it, you can have it, and you'll get it if you want it."
Amen.
Amen. That's exactly right. I'm glad I've got confidence this morning. Amen. God is going to see me through. Now, help me preach now. I'm talking this morning simply about faith. I'm preaching to you, trying to tell you about faith. Faith is not a system of belief. Faith is belief. Faith is not just theoretically believing in. Faith is with practice and trust and confidence believing on. Faith, my friend, is dependence on God and not just belief in God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I'm preaching today about faith. First of all, notice the facts of faith. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is, faith is the title deed of what you do not yet have in your hands. Things that you own that you do not yet possess, as Brother John taught in Sunday school this morning. Faith says that which God says is mine, and I don't yet hold in my hand. It's mine, not because I have it. It's mine because God said it. Amen. Oh, the children of Israel outside of Canaan, God said it belongs to you. They said, "We don't have a chance." But faith said, "If God said it, I believe it, and if that which He's promised will come to pass." Your faith is your title deed to eternal life. And just as a title deed is evidence of real estate, and my friend, so also your faith is evidence of your eternal estate in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, the fact of it is that faith is taking God at His word and asking no questions. Amen. That's right. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have faith, my friend, has two sides. One side has to do with the intellect. Faith is an intellectual conviction. Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that He is God. The other side has to do with your will. It is the volitional surrender of the will to Jesus Christ as Lord and Master in your life. Oh, friend, oh, thank God. And when you put the intellect and the will together, you have saving faith. It's seen in Thomas when he believed and confessed the Lord. He stands before Him, risen from the dead. He said, I'll not believe unless I see His hands. Put my fingers in the holes in His hand. Thrust my hand in His side. I'll not believe. And then listen, Jesus showed up in the middle of it and said, all right now, Thomas, come on, put your fingers in my hand. Thrust your hand into my side. But Thomas fell on his face in John 20 and 28. And he confessed, my Lord and my God. When he says, my Lord, this is a volitional surrender of His will. Your Lord, your Master, I'm your servant. But he said, my God, that was an intellectual conviction that Jesus Christ is God. If you'll be saved, friend, you must believe that He is. And then you must believe He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That is, He'll be your Lord. He'll be your Master. He'll be your Savior. And together you have saving faith. Oh, my friend. Hey, thank God. Saving faith is an intellectual conviction that Jesus is God, and surrender to Him as Lord and Master of your life. You see, by faith the mind trusts in God. By faith the heart responds to the love of God. And by faith the will submits to the commands of God. And by faith the life obeys in the service of God. Faith, my friend, is not theory. Faith is a fact.
Faith is a fact.
The fact of faith. The fact is that faith is paradoxical. Faith is sometimes confusing. Faith always doesn't face the facts. Sometimes faith believes when the facts tell you not to. Amen. Faith believes what your eyes cannot see. Faith believes that when your eyes say not to believe. Faith believes that what you can't see is real and what you can see is temporal. Faith believes what God says is so and what every man says is a lie. Amen. That's right. Faith goes beyond reason. Faith believes without understanding why. Faith sings in prison. Faith glories in tribulation. Faith chooses to suffer. Faith accepts every trial as a plan of God. And the just shall live by faith. The fact of faith. Then secondly this morning, I'm trying to preach to you about faith now. The fact of faith. Secondly, the feeding of faith. The feeding of faith. You know that you are not born with faith as you need to have it. The Bible does say that God has given unto every man a measure of faith. That you're not born with faith as you need to have it. That's why you must feed your faith. That's why we need the preaching of the Word of God. For Romans 10 and 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And how shall we hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? Hey. Oh, my, I'm feeling a mean streak crawling up my leg right about now. Oh, so you'll have to just, if you're scared, come jump in my pocket. Because I'm going to say something today. And I still love you. If you get mad, stand up and I'll come home. Your neck. And my friend, preachers are not called by the church, and they're not sent by the district supervisor. And preachers are sent by the Lord. Amen, that's right. And God calls men to preach who are qualified to preach. And God calls men to preach and not women to preach. And somebody ought to write a letter to Joyce Myers and let her know that God calls men and to preach. Amen. That's exactly right. And friend, not everybody who has a Bible in their hand and a microphone is a God-called preacher. Amen. But we need God-called preachers, and we need God-anointed preaching to feed our faith. That's right. That's right. Now I'm going to preach about faith. I just had to tell you that. My friend, faith, we've got to feed our faith. Be careful what you feed your soul. Be careful what you feed your life. Be careful what you feed, my friend, your mind. If you're not careful, you'll feed your doubts. You'll feed your flesh. You'll feed the sinful man. You'll feed carnality within you. How when you need to feed your faith, oh my friend, the Word feeds your faith, and faith feeds your understanding. I just don't understand that Bible. Well, if you get to know more of the Bible, it's amazing how much more you understand of it. Verse number 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Well, now, what about the amoebas and the monkeys? And what about transmutation from one species to the next? You see, science cannot explain everything. Matter of fact, they can't even tell you how they always start with something existing and turn into something else. But the Word of God starts with nothing and comes up with everything. You see, it's by faith that we understand that the worlds were framed. Somebody said, I just don't get it all. And you won't in the natural mind. It is by faith. Matter of fact, you can have it or leave it. I believe one of the reasons God sent a great flood was to wash out all the evidence and so as to make it where you can't prove what did, what didn't happen, how we did or did not get here. Oh, my friend, and it is now just a matter of faith. You'll believe God or you'll die lost. You'll believe the Savior or you'll go to hell. Amen. It is by faith we believe these things.
Amen.
By faith we understand that the worlds were framed. Our understanding comes from faith. And my friend, the Word feeds our faith. And then faith feeds our understanding. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The invisible gave birth to the visible. Amen. That's exactly right. The eternal gave birth and gave life to the temple. In Him was life. And the light of men. I bless His name. Oh, yes, that's right, friend. Oh, hey, if you feed your flesh and your doubts, then they will grow. But if you'll starve the flesh and feed your faith, then it'll grow. This is what Jesus meant when He said in Matthew 17 and 20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say on the mountain, remove from hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Hey, friend, in prayer you feed faith, and in fasting you starve the flesh. And if you're going to have faith, you must feed faith, and you must starve the flesh.
Amen.
And I ain't got a whole lot of time to preach on fasting and prayer, so I'm going to have to leave it there. But you ought to have been here on Wednesday night a few months ago. Ain't that right, Brother Matthew? Amen. Have faith, faith. I can't preach on faith, fasting, and every other biblical doctrine in the same message. Amen. Faith, friend. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. The facts of faith. The feeding of faith. Thirdly, this morning, notice the fame of faith. The fame of faith. I use this word cautiously this morning, for the world's idea of fame is altogether different than the Lord. But you do remember whenever the children of Israel began to come into the nation of Jericho and crossed over there, and that woman that took in the spies said, I have heard of what your God has done. I have heard the fame of all that happened down in the land of Egypt. I've heard about it. You remember when the Lord cast out the demons out of that crazy man? In Mark chapter number 5, the Bible said it was published all throughout Decapolis what the Lord had done. I tell you, friend, God's idea of fame and the world's idea of fame is two different things. The world, my friend, reports on the lifestyles of the rich
rich and famous. The world reports on entertainment tonight. And the TMZ, GMZ, whatever that thing is, that seems to have taken the nation by storm. And the National Enquirer on the famous of this life. Fame and fortune. And my friend, hey, and usually it's fame and misfortune. Amen, right there. That's exactly right. Hell, the friend God's idea of a fame or what the Lord recognizes is altogether different. God does not recognize what the world sees, but God honors faith. Amen. Verse number 2, for by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. At verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report, have through faith received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. How you see, faith honors God, and God always honors faith. And notice the record of Hebrews 11. It does not recognize Pharaoh, but it recognizes Moses. The world said, hallelujah, help me, Lord, preach now. The world said, Pharaoh was famous. Pharaoh was powerful. Pharaoh was rich. But Hebrews 11 doesn't recognize Pharaoh. It recognizes Moses. Oh, bless his name. It does not honor Lot in the city gate, but Abraham who walked with God. It does not honor Nebuchadnezzar, but the three Hebrew children. It does not honor Darius, the king, but Daniel in the lion's den. It honors not Saul, but it honors David. It honors not Ahab, but it honors Elijah. And my friend, honors not those who rule, but my friend, those who by faith overcame. Amen. Our friend, faith honors God, and God always honors faith. Faith does not make men famous on earth, but faith makes headlines in heaven. So, hey, Brother Randy, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay your treasures up in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Neither can thieves break through and steal. Oh, and he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you hearing me preach this morning? Somebody said, I don't have anything, and I'm a nobody with nothing going nowhere. Oh, but do you have faith? If you have faith, you may not be famous on earth, but you're in the headlines of a heavenly paper. Amen. God recognizes faith. God honors faith. God, my friend. Hey, friend, he rewards faith. The world mocks faith, but God honors faith. The fact of faith, the feeding of faith, the fame of faith. Then I want to show you this morning the favor of faith. And I'm coming to a close here in just a few minutes. I'm not really, but I'm telling you that so you don't get impatient. The favor of faith in verse number 6. I notice what it says here. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I mean, my friend, the favor of faith is such that you cannot please God without faith. Faith pleases Him. He calls an unbelieving heart an evil heart of unbelief in Hebrews 3:12. You see, God favors faith. You want God to smile on you? Trust in Him. When people trusted in God, they walked on water and they saw thousands fed. They watched blinded eyes to see. They saw dead men raised. They saw manna fall from heaven. They saw the sea and the rivers part. I'll tell you, when men trusted in Him, how we've known our sins and the reproach of our guilt to be rolled away. If you'll trust in the Lord,
anything.
You want the Lord to smile on you? Trust Him. Somebody said, try the Lord. Don't try Him. I mean, just trust Him. I'm not trying to parse words. I'm not being critical of folks that say that they mean well. And they don't mean what it sounds like. But you need to trust Him. It won't be enough just to try Him out for size. You'll have to trust Him for life. Amen. Oh, I can go down to the store this afternoon, down here to the Sears and Roebuck. Or do they even have a Sears and Roebuck anymore? Is it just Sears? I don't shop. My wife does that. She does enough for me and you and your wife and your family all. Amen. And so I let her do all of my shopping. But if they have a Sears and Roebuck anymore, then, and I know she goes to the shop with some of y'all. Y'all stay shopping too because you're with her. That's what I find out every day. What are you doing? I'm a so-and-so from the church of shopping. Amen. Thank God, I guess, for the good fellowship. Praise the Lord. But she'll go down to Sears and Roebuck here a while back or somewhere or another. I bought me some pants and brought them home. Most of you know in the past 18 months or so that I'm not half the man I used to be. I lost about 50 pounds in several months' time. At all of my pants is too big. My suits are too big, but I'm too cheap to buy new ones of them. They cost too much, so I just tighten my belt and pull my pants up every few minutes while I'm preaching. But my wife bought me some new pants, and she brought them home. I tried them on, and they were smaller size. I said, I can't wear them. Still too big. She took them back and got a smaller size. I put them on, and I said, I can't wear these. They are too small. And she went back and got the bigger size and a different kind. I said, I can't wear them. They don't fit right. You know what I really needed to do? I needed to go down to the Sears and Roebuck myself, and before we bought them, try them on for size. But you know what you're doing? You're testing it out to see if that thing, that product that you're purchasing, will fit your current lifestyle and your present situation. I can already tell you, God will not fit into your current lifestyle and into your present situation. You don't need to try Him on for size. You need to trust Him with your life. Hey, friend, He'll change your current lifestyle. He'll change your present situation. He'll make you and mold you and form you into what you need to be for His honor and His glory. Don't try Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. The favor of faith. You want God to smile on you? Trust Him. Then I want you to see the fullness of faith this morning. The fullness of faith. Verse 6 said, you must believe. He that cometh to God, latter part of verse 6, must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many, Brother Bob, believe that He is? I believe in God. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. In other words, they that come to the Lord, they must believe that He is, and then they must believe that He will, you see. And many believe in God, but faith believes God. Faith takes God at His word. Faith believes He rewards those who diligently seek after Him. Have faith enough to believe in God is not sufficient to save the soul. We must believe God. Believe on God. That is to say, we must trust Him with our lives. Oh, friend, the fullness of faith. God has given you a measure of it, but you must exercise it in order to experience the fullness of faith. Do you just believe in God? Do you just believe that God is able? Or do you believe when you pray that God will make things happen? Do you believe that God will take care of you? When it comes down, my friend, to the tight spots, when you're between a rock and a hard place, do you still believe God? Do you only believe God on paper? Have you ever heard that term the sportscasters talk about? They say they look at a ball team and so forth, and they look at the names on the team, who's pitching, who's batting, and so forth, and they'll say, on paper, this team is better than this other team. But on paper don't mean anything. You still got to play the game. And the team that may look better on paper may not be the one that wins. I wonder, do you just believe in God on paper? Or do you believe in God and believe God when it comes game time? I wonder, do you believe God when it becomes go time? I wonder, when the pressure's on, when you get put in the sift, how do you believe God then? Or do you only believe God in theory, on paper, in the formula? Or do you believe God when everything in life goes completely out of formula? Whenever, my friend, the life has thrown you a curveball, do you still believe God? What happens when it don't go the way you planned? What happens when it doesn't turn out as you expected? What happens when everything's different than what you thought? What's going to happen, friend? Whatever it does not turn out, and my friend, a success is not easy to find, and matters are not what you expected them to be, I wonder then, will you still believe God?
Faith is more than believing in God. It's believing God.
Paul said in Acts chapter number 27, I believe it is, where he's in that storm on the sea. He said, "Sirs, be of good cheer, for the Lord stood by me this night." And he said, "I believe God." He didn't say, "I believe in God, I believe on God." He said, "I believe God. The Lord's told me something and I believe it. I believe God that it shall be even as He has told me." I wonder, could you say this morning, not that I believe in God, but I believe God that it shall be even as He has told me. How much do you really trust it? Do you have a belief system? Do you have a system of a life? Do you have a system of religion? Or do you really trust God? One man said he didn't believe in organized religion. I said, "That's how come we became Baptists." Everybody knows that ain't organized. Do you have an organization of a belief system? Do you have a system of faith? Or, my friend, do you have faith living within you? Is your faith a philosophy, or is your faith the literal, essential matter and principle of your life? The fullness of faith. And I'm finishing this morning with one thing, and it sounds totally paradoxical with everything else I've said. But I want to close with this, and hear me if you've not heard anything else that I've said this morning. The failure of faith. Did you know faith can fail? Some of you's looking at me cross-eyed. Did you know that faith can fail? Faith can fail. The failure of faith is realized when faith itself is not exercised. Remember what Jesus said to Peter. "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." He said, "Simon, Satan has desired thee that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not." Faith can fail. Why? Because it was not exercised. Faith only fails when it's not tried. Somebody said to the Lord, the devil, the world, everybody, every force in the universe is trying my faith. And I hope it will pass the test. Oh, faith will pass the test when it's tried. Faith only fails when it's not tried. Amen. Faith always passes the test when it's tried. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "For the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Faith is tried many times in many ways, and it's always more than enough for the test. Faith only fails when it is not tried. Matthew 13:57-58, Jesus has gone into Nazareth, and they ran him out of town. As his hometown, and they run him out of town. And he said, "A prophet is not without honor save in his own country." And this is what verse 58 says. "And he did not many mighty works
is there because of their unbelief. Their faith failed. Not because faith failed, but they didn't exercise the faith that was given them. Faith fails you when you won't try it. Faith fails you when you won't trust it. Faith fails you when you don't exercise it. Faith fails you when your fear overwhelms your faith. When your unbelief and that evil heart of unbelief and that carnality and worry of the flesh is greater than the faith of the Spirit. That's when faith fails. Faith does not fail when it is tried. Faith fails when it is not tried.
Amen.
Faith never fails when it's tried, because it's tried, but because it's not tried. You can put faith to the test. Trust God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I trust God with your heart. He will not fail. Isaiah 42:4 said, He will not fail, neither be discouraged. A friend, He will stand the test if you trust Him.
Amen.
I'm finished with preaching. If you come with a song, hear me when I'm in a safe friend. Satan is a liar.
Right.
He does all he can do to make you doubt. He loves to see you lose faith.
Sorry.
He loves to see you forsake God in church. I won't say that again. Satan loves to see you forsake God and church. Right here this morning, we're feeding our faith. And Satan loves to see you forsake God and church. He loves to see you doubt God and question His power and His purpose in your life. But God is pleased with faith. Faith doesn't always understand. Preacher, I don't understand what's going on in my life. Faith doesn't always understand. Faith says, Lord, if it be You walking on the water, bid me to come. I don't know if it's You or not, but if it is You, let me come out there. If it is You, answer me, Lord. Faith, friend, whenever He says come, steps out of the boat and onto the water, looking for nothing beneath it, but trusting in the Lord. Faith says, when you're sinking beneath the waves, and cries out, Lord, save me. Faith, my friend, responds in such a manner. God is pleased with faith, though faith does not always understand. Faith believes when you cannot fully understand. John 11:40, Jesus said to Martha and Mary, Jesus said unto her, I said, I am not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. I wonder, are you living by faith this morning? Something in your life you don't altogether understand, can't altogether get your arms around. You don't know the Lord maybe this morning. Maybe you don't know what to do with your situation today. Saint center life, the answer is the same. Trust the Lord. Ain't always easy to do, but it's the same answer for all of us. Trust the Lord. It'll work if you'll do it. Would you come cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you? Have faith in God. If you need to pray, would you come? Stand to your feet, please. If you need to talk to the Lord this morning, I'd invite you to come. Find your place around this morning's bench and cast your helplessness at the feet of Jesus. If you need the Lord to help you this morning, sing when you're ready.
When I first begin,
you need to pray, would you come? Oh Lord, I don't have to understand. Just got to hold His hand. Would you trust the Lord? Don't just try Him on for signs. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your life. The stuff that don't make sense. The things you can't understand. I get saved, but I don't understand a lot of things. Oh, friend, trust Him. You've got to understand everything. You must trust in the things. I trust in God, the things you don't understand.
but I know God can take care of us.
You can depend on Him, friend. You need to come and join these others in prayer. Would you come?
Calf was fed out in a bottle a few years ago, and it was a boy, and Gracie named him Sue, and that's all right. Whatever my little girl wanted to name that calf was fine on me. But after a while, it got to the place where Brother John, that milk was not going to be enough, so I had to get him to take grain, solid food, but didn't want it. He didn't even want to try it. But Bob, I had to force feed him. That's the way you got to do them when you try and take them off the bottle. All they want is that bottle. I had to force feed him. I took that grain in my hand, that sweet feed, and I got the sweetest stuff that they had to try to entice his taste. I'd have to grab him around the neck in a headlock. He's already 150, 200 pounds. And wrestle him up in the corner of the barn. Squeeze his mouth open with all that's in me to hold him. He weighed more than what I did. Press his mouth open and take my hand and run that feed down his mouth. He'd spit it back out, waller it out of his mouth, but inevitably he'd get some in there. And after 3 or 4 days of doing that every day, he got to where I'd just take him, put him in a corner, stick my hand in front of him. He'd lick it out. Wasn't long, I was pouring it in a bowl in a bucket for him, and he was eating it out, and then I was dumping it in a trough, and he didn't even want that bottle anymore. He wanted that sweet feed. But I had to force him to take it to begin with. It was better for him. It was a better life. It was better sustenance. It was good to his bones. But I couldn't convince him of it. I had to force him to do it. Here's the thing about it this morning. All I can do for you is put the feed in the trough. All I can do is set it out before you. And try with all God can put in me to coat it with as much molasses and enticement to serve Him as what I can with the help and an unction and anointing of the Holy Ghost. But when it comes right down to it, the life of faith, you will have to choose. I cannot force feed you. It's a better life. It's a better way. It's good for you. It's good for your bones. It's health unto your navel and marrow to your bones. But I cannot force feed you. This morning, all I can do is throw it out in the trough and say, here it is. You'll accept it by faith, or you'll reject it in doubt and unbelief. And then it'll be between you and God at the judgment day. Now, I've tried this morning to cast it before you, and set before you this day life and death, blessings and curses. Let me encourage you to choose life. But I hope you've been obedient to the Lord, what God has had you to do in this meeting today. I've tried to preach to you about faith, but hear me, if God knows my heart, what I really want to do is live before you in faith. Amen. If I preach in faith and preach about faith, but Brother Matthew, I don't live before you in faith, then I will have failed. But may God help me to live before you in faith. And then He'll honor my preaching about faith. Amen to that. Well, bless the Lord.